I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from the 15th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with verse 15. St. Mark chapter 15, reading verses 15 through 20. And wishing to satisfy the multitude, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers took him away into the palace, that is, into the praetorium. And they called together the whole Roman cohort. And they dressed him up in purple. After weaving a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to acclaim him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they kept beating his head with a reed, and spitting at him, and kneeling and bowing before him. And after they had mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his garments on him, and they led him out to crucify him. We all play harmless board games, and some of us play games that aren't quite so harmless. I play games each week. I've been kind of caught with the computer rage, and I'm not going to tell you what kind I play. I'm not very good at it, but it's fun. But I think of the checker games we used to play when we were little kids. Someone would always holler out, "King me," and I, being the son of proper English students, I always used to say, "No, that means crown me," and I would say, "Crown me," but they would say, "King me." Did you ever say, "King me"? You probably did, didn't you? Those little games, board games, harmless games. And yet history tells us of a board game, perhaps in some monstrous way that's akin to these harmless games, that wasn't so harmless. Recent historians have found evidence of why it was that the Roman soldiers treated Jesus in the way that they did. It might puzzle you that these people, who certainly were disinterested and had no great interest in Jewish affairs, would suddenly seize upon a Jewish prisoner and robe him with a purple robe and put a crown of thorns upon his head and spit at him and treat him in this cruel way. It's always been a kind of mystery to me. And yet, one of the few places in Jerusalem that they feel is perhaps authentically the places where Jesus' feet actually were is this pavement, this praetorium, which is actually in the basement now of a, what's the opposite of a monastery, where nuns are, a convent. And you go down into the basement and see the very pavement stones where the horse's hooves were. And carved in those stones is a very curious bunch of, I would call them hieroglyphics, it's not the right word, different symbols. And students of history recently have found that the Roman soldiers, on certain political days pertaining to Rome — this was not a political time, this was Passover, a Jewish time — but on certain Roman political days, the Romans would play a board game. Only instead of pawns, they would use real prisoners. They would have the permission. Poor wretches that were already condemned to death, they would bring out and cast dice, and they would move them from place to place in the different pavements of the different forts where the Romans were. They would carve these same games on the floor or on the pavement in the various praetoria, where they were stationed. And the idea was that once a year, they would play this game until one prisoner became the king. And then on that mock king, they would heap all the abuse and all the pent-up rage that they felt against Caesar and against the authorities that certainly kept them in cruel discipline. And with perfect immunity to punishment, they could do anything they wanted to this mock king. They would buffet him, and just like everything that they would like to say to Caesar, they would say to this mock king. And so it was that they had all the equipment somewhere in a closet or someplace for this cruel game that they played. And Jesus, in a sense, was caught in the hatred of these soldiers for authority. And when they said, here's a man that we are to crucify, he's been delivered to us to be scourged and prepared for execution. And they came the word, he's called the King of the Jews. One of the soldiers says, well, let's go get the robe and we'll play a little Roman game with him. And so Jesus was caught in this hatred of authority. And even though it was not a political Roman holiday, they put the robe upon him. They plaited the crown of thorns and put it upon his head. And then he began to catch from them all the venom and all the coarse brutality that they would like to heap up against the authority that chafed them under the yoke. We chafe under any authority. We don't like people to tell us what to do. Those that are in office always get blamed for everything wrong that's going on. They don't get much praise if anything goes right. Doesn't matter whether they're Democrats or whether they're Republicans. As soon as they're in office, we just by human nature chafe against authority. We see how this garrison of coarse, brutal Roman soldiers, reflecting the coarse times of their culture, had their way with Jesus. They just happened to have the robe on hand, just happened to have the disposition to mock a prisoner in this cruel way. We also see later on, though, that these cruel men, these coarse men, were impressed by this regal prisoner. This was not like any other prisoner that they had dealt with. And finally, we have the quote of the leader of the cohort that took Jesus to the place of execution when he said, surely this one was the Son of God. It's not fair to compare our attitude to that of these coarse soldiers. I'm not in any way suggesting that we would treat any human being that way. And yet only God knows what lies in the human heart. But I don't believe it is fair to compare our attitude to that of these soldiers. And yet I wonder if we don't sometimes place God in that strange place of resentment against the chafing bonds of discipline where we find ourselves. And we feel the yoke of authority come down upon us. And somehow we strike out against the innocent one. Have you thought of some of the games that we play with the one who died for us? In order for us to play fair with Christ, there must be a deep and total commitment to his call. And then there must be a total consecration, a follow through on that commitment. One of the games we play with Jesus is the game of shallow commitment. Jesus described in a parable, we saw it in the play the other night, how that seed can fall onto stony ground and germinate into life. But just as quickly it can die because there has never been any real preparation of the soil. And I would suggest to you that it's a game that we play with the life of the Son of God. When we glibly say, yes, I'll be a Christian. Yes, I'll follow the Savior. Yes, I want to do what's right. And there's no serious repentance, no real break with sin, no serious desire to live like Jesus. It's one thing to say, I'll follow you. It's another thing to break up the fallow ground, that hard heart of sin, and say, I have sinned. Repentance is no light thing. And so we play this game of shallow commitment. And soon we lose hold of that precious seed of life that Jesus has tendered to us with his own life. Then I think of the game of limited consecration in that same parable. Jesus described it as those who perhaps have prepared their hearts in repentance and yet haven't carried through. We don't say an eternal yes to God. Or having said that yes, we don't really carry through on the yes. There's such a thing as a crisis yes, but a daily acknowledging the lordship of Christ. Jesus likened that to the cares and the pleasures of this world rising up and choking the God life right out of us. We laughed the other night while they choked Vinny to death over on the left part of the stage there. And yet we need to see that again and again in our lives. It's possible to make a serious preparation. It's possible to have the life within us. And yet how absolutely essential it is that we say that eternal yes to God, so that as the cares of life come, and they will come, and as the victories and the successes of life come, and they'll come too, and they're just as threatening to us as the cares, unless we've already said that eternal yes to God. Anybody that's ever done any gardening, I'm a very rank amateur gardener compared to some of my neighbors who I'm trying to copy. But any gardener knows that you have to keep the weeds down. And there's no safety outside of a total abandonment to the will of Jesus. It's a mockery on faith and trust to say that we love him and then hold back and insist on having our own pleasures as we will, or our own worries as we will. We won't give up our worries sometime. That's one of my besetting sins, my fears and my worries. By nature, I'm a worrywart. But you know, that fear will put me outside of a relationship with Christ if I'll let it. Anything apart from him, a total commitment to him, is a game that we play. I might also mention in closing the game of putting off decision. We know what's expected of us. In our minds, we know that one day we are going God's way. We've never really considered anything else. Of course we're going to go this way. Not because our fathers and mothers have gone this way, but because we are convinced it's right. And we will do it, but we haven't done anything about it. And we need to see that there's all the difference in the world between wishing and praying. All the difference in the world about thinking about something and doing something. We need to get out of the realm of desires and feelings all the time and move into the realm of will and decision. The bottom line about the cross doesn't ask, what do you feel about Jesus? We all feel tender and moved at this time of the year when we think of someone that would die for us. But the bottom line isn't, how do you feel about Jesus? But what are you going to do about the fact that Jesus died for you? And we're playing games with God. If we say, I'm going to, but it's always tomorrow. We stand on holy ground when we stand before the cross. When we stand before the outpoured life, the outpoured love of God, we don't dare to play petty games of authority. There are mighty forces that are competing for your personality today. Forces really don't wear white hats and black hats and aren't comparable to the great nations of the world, but forces of good and evil. And the question is not, shall we serve, but the question is, whom shall we serve? Shall I acknowledge Jesus Christ as truly the King of Kings? Or will I play games with him and say, yes, you're Lord, you're really the Lord. Oh, you're the Lord. But go out and do exactly as we please. Shall I choose to welcome His Lordship and find in that surrender the freedom for which I was made? Or will I insist on having my own way and end up in the tyranny of separation and sin and selfishness for all eternity? Will you pray with me? Father, we think of how cruel and coarse it was that men could play games with someone they didn't know, and someone who was the Son of God. But Lord, we know who You are. We feel very tenderly about You. We love You. We pray that You will help us to make no shallow commitment. Help us to make no narrow, limited consecration. But with all that is within us, help us to acknowledge that You are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of creation, and God and Lord of all the kingdoms of my heart. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.